closed captioned for the reality impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
Ten oh six. 2 days, not one day, but 2 days after Ted Cruz's speech, Donald Trump is trashing Cruz, saying Cruz changed the speech after they previewed it, and says, "Not, no, I don't need a Gary Johnson bumper sticker just yet," and that Cruz lied, and I don't need his endorsement, wouldn't want it if he offered it, which transitions me. Okay, first, though, why did it take Donald Trump 2 days to say all that stuff? Why yesterday morning? My God, that's not what Ted said he was going to speak about. Why wait another day? Interesting. But I want to dovetail that as we talk about Trump's speech. I watched most of it. Apparently I missed about the last 5 or 10 minutes. If it was an hour and 15 minute speech, then I missed the last 5 or 10 minutes. He was starting to get into his family. I was dog tired. There's all sorts of commentary on Trump's speech. I made my own notes. Before we get to Trump, Ivanka, in introducing her dad, said something that I think is getting little to no attention. She said the gender wage disparity is real. Did you catch that, Earl? She said the gender wage disparity is real, but it's not the result of gender. You did see that. Childcare. This was, motherhood. Professional women having babies. So the answer is, her father's going to provide affordable child care for everyone. How's that one flying under the radar? That was really interesting. She regurgitated the same liberal numbers of what women make on the dollar compared to men. And her dad's going to address that disparity by making child care affordable for everyone. Now, let me say this about that. It'll be interesting to see if he means by changing regulation that makes it a beast to be a child care provider in your own home and the licensing and all of that and streamlining regulation. Yeah. But let's see if that's where he's going. If that's where Donald Trump's going, I full-throated support. Now to Trump's speech, and I find this fascinating. Big on law and order and big on immigration. I saw an interview with his campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, before the speech. Jake Tapper, CNN, asked him, well, is this going to sound like Richard Nixon, law and order? Well, it's not going to sound like 1968. It's going to be 2016. It sounded exactly like Richard Nixon. That he is the law and order candidate. Liberals are criticizing him for this because he sounded so doom and gloom. I will say this, a law and order message is going to play very well right now. Here is what Hillary Clinton and the liberals will do. They'll say that that's dog whistle for racists. That's what they're going to say. And I've accused Trump of that in the past. I'm not accusing him of that here. There is a deep concern among many Americans, black and white alike, that we are reaching a point of lawlessness in this country. And you're not being doom and gloom by being honest about that. I think that was an important theme. I think the war on terror was an important theme. He did something interesting, though. He's speaking from a teleprompter, but he went all over the place, as my daddy used to say, like horse bleep all over, is kind of what he was like, where just this topic and then immigration again, that topic and then immigration again, and just didn't seem to have a lot of focus, and it was a very long speech. But I think the time spent on Law and Order was time well spent. This is the part that I found most fascinating. He was overt in his outreach to Sanders supporters. And he said it's a rigged system. It was rigged against Bernie. And he thinks that he's going to backfill his deficiency with Sanders supporters. What he didn't do last night was fascinating. He made no attempt to go after Cruz supporters. He made no attempt to go after the 55-ish percent of Republican primary voters who did not vote for him. Now, perhaps he thinks they'll just come along. But there was no outreach to them, of which I am one. Now, he knows the hashtag Never Trumpers he's never going to get. I don't remember what his, I don't think 65%, he got more than 35% of the primary vote, didn't he? Whatever he got. Trump, he got more than 35% of the primary vote, didn't he? I thought it was 40-ish. Whatever it was. He didn't really go after them. He's going after the Sandinistas. I found that stunning. I mean, just stunning. As I started to say, if you're someone who has vowed not to vote for him, he knows you're a waste of his time. But there are a lot of people who are hashtag I'm still not sure who are right of center. He didn't outreach to them at all. Some call it the Jeb Bush wing of the party. I disagree with that. There's a difference between establishment Republicans and mainstream conservatives. I was stunned, and this is not a criticism, but I was stunned that he didn't go after them. Instead, he went after Bernie Sanders supporters. And there was a heavy emphasis on an outreach to the LGBTQ community. Before he spoke, PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel, who is openly gay, he's only the second openly gay speaker at a Republican National Convention, and the first one who brought up his sexuality. I'm proud to be gay, and he ripped Republicans for worrying about who uses what bathroom, and he got a big ovation when he did it. I'm not sure the crowd fully understood what he was saying. And then Trump did an outreach. This after the Republican platform is considered the most anti-LGBTQ ever. I've got a lot more to say about it, but we can take some calls. Ron on the road. Ron, go ahead.
Morning, Jerry.
Morning.
I just wanted to say, I remember listening to a Trump speech a couple weeks ago. I believe it was like on a Wednesday, shortly after I think he had secured enough delegates. And I got to say, it was a long speech. It was bouncing all over the place. It gave me a headache after a while. This time I had to shut it off. I got to say, he did a lot better job in last night's speech. The only thing I wished I would have heard out of him was somewhere like toward the beginning of the speech, before middle of the speech, if he'd have talked about the Republican race, the primaries, how things did get ugly, and put out some kind of an apology for things he may have said to make the Cruz supporters happy, possibly bring Ted Cruz around, because there were things that were said that should not have been said about his wife, about his dad. You know, he should have done that. Too late now, but he should have done that. That's all I want to say.
Ron, thanks a lot for the call. Should Trump have been conciliatory and even somewhat apologetic? I don't know. Yeah, and today he said he had nothing to do with the rumors. Yeah, he repeated them. That's having something to do with them. He repeated them. So that is having something to do with the rumors about Cruz's dad and JFK. He repeated them. What's Ted Cruz's dad doing with Lee Harvey Oswald? that is having something to do with the rumors. That's insane to suggest that he didn't. I don't know. If he suddenly had gotten apologetic and, gee, I was too rough, that's what his core loved about him in the primaries. And I don't know who it would have won over, because his detractors, me included, wouldn't have believed it was real. So I don't know. Now, I actually think he did. There were a lot of things when he started talking about Hillary, and again, the crowd started chanting, "Lock her up." Did you hear what he said? "No, let's defeat her first." That was good. There were some really good moments there. He was all over the board, lack of focus. It's going to be interesting for people who are first dialing into this, because he again left the perception of a high percentage of illegal immigrants being violent criminals. Now, they are our violent criminals and illegal immigrants. But it sounded as strident as it, you know, what got him in trouble in his announcement. So he's not backing down on that at all. So, he went back to what got him to the top in the first place, immigration. I thought the law and order message was very, very effective. There was a moment. There was an incredible moment where he talked about the rigged system. And then he had this smirk and said, "Look, I know it's rigged." Did you see that, Earl? And you know what he was essentially saying? Is, yeah, I know. I benefited from it. And then he said, "That's how I know how to fix it." He didn't come out and say benefited from it, but he had this smirk and goes, "Yeah, I know it's rigged. That, yeah, I've benefited from the rigged system. So I certainly know how to unrig it. I've benefited from it." I mean, yeah, that was the unspoken words, but I think that smirk made the message pretty clear. I was just stunned by it. By the way, I'm just throwing out observations here. Adam in Luxembourg. Adam, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to say I think that Donald Trump just torpedoed the Republican Party. I think Donald Trump, he just torpedoed the Republican Party by, clinching this nomination. And he figures that he doesn't need the rest of the Republicans because he can rule by executive order and he'll have his own Supreme Court candidate. So, like he says, he doesn't need Ted Cruz. He doesn't believe that he needs anybody.
But he's got to win, though, before he can do any of that.
Right. And I think that Paul Ryan, by, you know, not seeking presidential aspirations, I think that he was hoping for Trump to become the president and that it would just be an empty suit up there in the White House that he could kind of pull the strings from.
Phone calls are so often laced with ulterior motives and hidden agendas. And I'm not saying that they, you know, I get that. Boy, he torpedoed the Republican. He's got to win. And apparently he thinks he's got a better chance of winning over Sanders supporters than Cruz supporters. It's 10:20.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.